thank you for joining with me again today. We are going to start now with day one of this walking with Jesus, and my theme is before all things. My reading is from John chapter 6, verse 62, when Jesus said, "Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before?" I have no recollection of my birth. My mother filled me in on some of the details, but I have no remembrance of them at all. All I know is that I had a beginning. I know it happened, and I know on what day I was born. All things, everything and everyone, have a beginning. Things are constructed, and people are conceived and then born. But in the case of God, that is not true. God has no beginning. He is before all things and lives in the realm of eternity, of which there is no beginning and no end. It was God who created the beginning of all things, things in heaven and things on the earth. God created that incredible dimension which we call time. He gave his name to Moses at the burning bush, saying, "I am who I am." That's in Exodus 3:14. Albert Barnes wrote, "Those words express absolute and therefore unchanging and eternal being." Christ had no beginning. He was before the beginning, along with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's in Colossians 1:15-17. Jesus, in his prayer to God, in John 17, verse 5, said these words, "Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." In the same prayer, he also said, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Here, we must take our shoes off, for we find ourselves in the presence of deep mystery. We must learn to recognize and indeed accept that there are many things about God that are far beyond our human knowledge. More than that, they are holy, sacred, and to be honored and revered. The scriptures themselves testify to this. Job said, "As for me, I would seek God, and to God would I commit my cause, who does great and unsearchable, marvelous things without number." You'll find that in Job 5:8-9. Now, that is fantastic. David also wrote in the Psalms, Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That's Psalm 145, verse 9. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways." That's in Romans 11:33. Thomas A. Kempis, my favourite monk, wrote these words, "God, eternal, incomprehensible, and infinitely powerful, does great and inscrutable things in heaven and on earth, and there is no searching into his marvellous works." The late Jim Packer wrote these words, "There is something exceedingly improving to the mind in a contemplation of the divinity. It is a subject so vast that our thoughts are lost in its immensity, so deep that all our pride is drowned in its infinity." Here then, let's take off our shoes. In the face of something beautifully holy that we experience but cannot fully understand, let our questioning reason follow our faith. Follow our faith, and not the other way around. So here's our thought for the day. The mysteries of God are designed to invoke worship and wonder. And so we pray, Lord, help me to follow you, exploring you and your ways, but carefully and respectfully. Amen. Thank you for listening. We'll pick up some more and maybe look at the word mystery the next time. You take care out there.